Now, you think about that. That's a funny sign. How could you do it otherwise? Now, what they meant was you didn't have to have an appointment. You could just come in. But that's not what they said. And I saw a sign in front of a church a while back on the reader board of a church. And their minister evidently had not been well. And on the reader board it said, God is good, Pastor Johnson is better. You just have to interpret that the way you like. You know, as I've gone through life, I've found that the vast majority of people think they're going to heaven. Whether they know why or not, they think they're going to heaven. And I'm glad to say, and I'm sure many of you can say, I know I'm going to heaven. And the reason, one of the reasons I know I'm going to heaven, because nobody could go to heaven if it wasn't for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he died and he rose again, and we're celebrating that today, the fact that the Lord Jesus rose again. I want to read just a few verses in John chapter 11, beginning with the 21st verse. This is the occasion when the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead. 21st verse, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I want to speak primarily about those words. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm sure that you notice it does not say, I was the resurrection and the life. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. We can say with the hymn writer, we serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. The Christian faith stands or falls with the resurrection of Christ. This is a fact by which the structure of the Christian doctrine and experience is held together. It is true that if this fact were removed, then everything else is removed. And if the resurrection were proved untrue, then everything else in the Christian faith were also proved untrue. No statement of this is clearer than the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 to 19, when he said, If Christ be not risen, then is our teaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that God raised up Christ. If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Our conclusion must be that if the resurrection of Christ is not a fact, then Christianity itself is a delusion. You remember that Christ himself spoke of this in the 12th chapter, the next chapter, when he said, Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We do, of course, realize that the Scripture teaches that all one must do to be saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our Lord Jesus Christ died to make our salvation factual. He rose again to make it actual. But what we would have each one understand today from the message, hopefully, is that the resurrection of the Lord is an established fact. And because it is so, the enemy of Christ and the Christian would seek to make little of the fact. If you were in the world today and you asked the average person, what does Easter mean to you? They would say it means Easter bunnies and a vacation from work. And it means good food over at mom's house and these types of things. And Satan and the world has sought to take our hearts away from the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died And he rose again. He's alive today. There is more proof that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again than there is that George Washington ever lived. More historical proof, not just biblical proof. And so you and I can rest on that wonderful fact. Paul said, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was raised again, buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present. Some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. The Apostle Paul stresses the fact that the Lord Jesus was seen alive after his resurrection. And it would seem that there was no argument to that fact. If you read the word of Scripture, and if you read history, you find out that there was some argument about the Lord's death in some ways, but never any argument about the fact that he rose again. Even in those days, people accepted that as a fact, that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. In John 20, we have the proof of the empty tomb. You remember Mary went to the empty tomb. Some have challenged the appearance of Christ after his resurrection, but with the empty tomb, how can his resurrection be denied? For now we have two pieces of evidence. First, the tomb, and then the witnesses who saw him alive. Remember this, the enemies of Christ had no reason to take his body from the tomb, and the disciples had no opportunity. You remember a guard was placed there and a stone as well. So the power that removed it had to be divine. It's the greatest manifestation of power that God ever displayed in this world was the raising of Christ from the dead. When you take the two together, it is adequate to prove the truth and wonder of the resurrection of Christ. And we have one final thing, the change in the disciples. Remember, on the day of his death, they were afraid, and on the day of his resurrection, they still locked themselves in their room for fear of the Jews. But in the days after, on the day of Pentecost and so forth, these who had been cowards in their room now were lions on the day of Pentecost. And how could it be so? The Word of God would say the resurrection. God help us to value it and cherish it as we think of it today and throughout the year. In our text, Lord Jesus is about to die. In the next chapter, we've already spoken of the fact that he said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And later he went on to say in that same chapter 12, that I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me. So he you see life in chapter 11, for he brings Lazarus to life in the chapter we read. And we see death in chapter 12 as he looks forward to the cross on which he came to die. He did not come in the world by chance. He came to be the Savior of the world. It was announced at his birth by the angels. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Not a teacher, although he was that. Not an example, although he was that. But unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And you and I don't need to despair that fact. His death was not a tragedy. It was a triumph. As a result, now for you and I that know him, death is not to be feared. We who were subject to the bonds of death are now been freed from that. Death for us is now but the servant, the porter at the gate. It's not the master of the house, but the porter at the gate to open the king's gate to the king's guests and to let them into the realms of eternal day. You and I, the Bible says, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. In John 2, in the first miracle recorded, Christ turned the water into wine. The wine, as we know, speaks of joy. And so, at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, he put the joy in the wedding. And here in John chapter 11, he dried the tears and he took the sorrow out of the funeral. Before he was lifted up on the cross to die, as we reminded you in the 32nd verse of the 12th chapter, it says, and I, if I be lifted up. But before he was lifted up on the cross, he shows his power over death, because before being crucified in weakness, he showed his power in raising one from the dead. Remember that those passing by the cross said to him, Save thyself. Come down from the cross. They said he saved others. Himself he could not save. Pilate said, I have power to release you. And the Lord said, you could have no power at all unless it was given thee, over me at all unless it was given thee. The Lord laid down his life and allowed himself to be crucified for your sins and mine. He said, the cup that the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? As it has been so often said, it was not the nails that kept him on the cross. It was his love for you and me. But I'm not here today particularly to remind you so much about his death as I am that he rose again. As he said, the angel rolled away the stone from Jesus' tomb. He didn't roll away the stone to let the Lord out. He rolled away the stone to let the unconvinced outsiders in, including the disciples. For we read in the Word that at first they didn't believe that he was alive. They thought it was too good to be true. It says they believed not for joy. It was just too good to be true. Years ago, a missionary in India was preaching and in the marketplace, and a Mohammedan spoke to him and said, you must admit we have one thing you don't. When we go to Mecca, we visit the coffin of our leader. When you go to Jerusalem, you find an empty tomb. And that, of course, is the difference. Mohammed is dead and in his coffin. But Christ is risen, and all power in heaven and earth has been given unto him, and he's alive, as we just sang. He's alive forevermore. Thank God, before the Lord filled a tomb, he emptied one. And I believe, of course, that it was to show his power. People say, why did he say, Lazarus, come forth? And, of course, the answer is that if he hadn't said Lazarus, everybody in that grave would have come forth. You know, years ago, the first time I was asked to speak at a funeral, I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll look up in the Bible and see what the Lord spoke at funerals. And I did, and I found out every time he went to funeral, he raised the people from the dead. So that was out for me. I had to find something else to speak about. But we wonder about the fact that this one who was to die showed his power, first of all, in raising from the dead. In the 17th verse, it says, when Jesus came. The hymn writer says, when Jesus came, the tempter's power was broken. When Jesus came, the tears were wiped away. He takes the gloom, and he fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. How often in your life and mine as a Christian do we have him come to us in various ways? But when he comes, we're aware of his coming. The result is always the same as it was at Bethany. Brings joy and peace and satisfaction when he comes into your life and mine, regardless of the circumstances for which he comes. The Lord came into the world that the world might be blessed. And he still comes into the world. He comes to give light. He comes to teach the truths of the text. For instance, I am the light of the world, he says. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He came to give life. It says that in me ye shall have life. He came to give comfort. He showed sympathy. He wept at Lazarus' funeral. You remember at Lazarus' tomb, he wept. He brought joy, and he still wants you and I to have joy. We read about that in the 16th chapter of John. His purpose is that you and I might have joy. In verse 23, as we said, he says to Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says, I know that he'll rise again at the last day. She's talking about the resurrection that's going to come at the end of the millennial period, the 1,000-year righteous reign of Christ here in this world. That's called the Great White Throne Judgment. God is going to raise all the dead, and everyone is going to stand before Christ at that time to be judged in their sins, for their sins. If you're here and you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, one day you are going to have to stand before God for your sins at the Great White Throne Judgment. And that's what Martha was talking about. She was saying, I know that he's going to rise then. Everyone is going to rise then. But the Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He told her about something she'd never known about. He told her about what we call the rapture. I'm the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He was telling her about the great salvation and the fact that those of us who put our trust in him, we're never going to die. We're going to have a resurrection. It's called the rapture. For all of those that are dead in Christ, we're told in Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall come from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is a resurrection coming for the dead that have put their trust in Christ, but it's not for judgment. It's to be carried home to heaven to be with him forever. I'm not here today to remind you so much of his death as the fact that he rose again. You remember the angel rolled away the stone, as we told you a moment ago. I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself. But he's alive. And years ago, a missionary in India was teaching in that isn't the one I thought it was. I'm sorry. Lord is about to die, and he empties the tomb for himself. And he points out the necessity of his death, as we said in the 12th chapter. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And years ago in Africa, a missionary was teaching, and the man said, well, I don't believe that the dead are going to rise. See, you and I, if we die, we're going to rise again. And go home to be with heaven, to be with the Lord in heaven. And they said, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the dead are going to rise. And he said, well, the Lord said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. And he said, when you plant corn into the ground, what happens to it? Well, it comes up after a while, but it has to die before it'll come up. The seed has to die. You plant it in the ground, and then it rises again. Well, that's exactly what the Lord teaches us. He stresses the fact that you and I are going to rise again. If we put our trust in him, we're never going to die forever. It doesn't mean we're not physically going to die in this world, but it doesn't mean we're going to, spiritually, we're never going to die. We're going to live throughout the endless ages of eternity. I am the resurrection and the life. It's a wonderful thing. And we remind you, it doesn't say, I was the resurrection and the life. It says, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. So Paul stresses the fact that the Lord Jesus was seen alive after his resurrection. So there's no argument to that fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. You can believe it or not as you want. But it's important that you believe that Christ died and rose again for you. It's not important that you believe he died and rose again, period. But when you believe that he died and rose again for you, you see, it doesn't make any difference if you don't believe it for yourself. See, nobody is going to hell for their sins. People are going to hell because they simply did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They did not own the fact that Christ died and rose again for me. For me. The hymn writer says, for me. It was for me alone the Savior left his glorious throne. You have to realize that it was for you that Christ died. The resurrection was for you so that Christ could take you to heaven with him. But he had to die and he had to rise again. He had to conquer death before you could rise again in newness of life. And everyone who puts their trust in him as their Savior does rise spiritually in newness of life. The Bible says, I'm a new creation. It says, you're a new creation when you put your trust in Christ. But the choice is yours. You can believe or not believe. That's up to you. Whether you believe or not, it's up to you. But we would tell you that it's real. It's real that Christ lives. And it's real that he lives in everyone who puts their trust in him. Christ lives in me. I'm aware of his presence. And every believer is aware of the presence of Christ. May God help you. If you've never put your trust in him, to put your trust in him today. For it is true. The scripture teaches it and history teaches us. Christ died, but he also rose again. He was seen by many witnesses. And the proof is that we have a living Savior. May God bless these thoughts to your hearts. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of coming into thy presence. We thank thee for the wonder of the truth, that the one who came to the world to die at Calvary's cross was not just a man, although he was a man. He was also God. We're so thankful, our God and Father, when we realize that the one who died for us is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God. We remember that when he was here in the world, he said, I will build my church. And everyone who puts their trust in him is a part of the church. And we know, our God and Father, that thou dost tell us that one day the church will be taken home to heaven. We know that the only way to get into the church is to accept the fact that we're a sinner. We need to be saved and to ask God to save us, to ask thy Son to come in and be the Savior in our life. We thank thee, our God and Father, that he was willing to come. He, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, died at Calvary's cross for me. And he rose again. He said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. And we're so thankful, our God and Father, for the manifestation of that power. The power of God in giving life and raising up thy Son that we might have life. And so we give thee thanks for that today and ask that thou would take the words that we read from thy word and make them real in the hearts and lives of everyone here. We ask it giving thanks in his name. Amen.